Man, I remember my mom, when I was little, my mom would take me all over the place, and we would catch the bus to go buy my clothes and, you know, to go to the doctor and to the dentist, and my mom just took me everywhere. And you know what? I think my mom is going to be here next week. So you guys can tell her if she did a bad job or a good job in raising me. But I think for the most part, the beginning part in my teenager years, I was a bad son. Hey, this morning, we got a special treat for you. You know, Mother's Day comes around once a year. And during that time, you know, we open our Bible. We find some mother in the Bible and we talk about them. Or I have one of the mothers come and maybe Berna come and shares the word. But this morning, we got a really great treat for you because we got four mothers from our church who are going to, I'm going to ask them some questions, and they're going to share with you some encouraging words. So would the four mothers come up? Hey, you got two more over here, and you get a couple more back there. You know, we was thinking of giving you guys mothers big hunks for Mother's Day, but I figured you're already married to one, so hey, so you know, then we figured, okay, well, we'll give you either good news or $100,000. So you got either good news or $100,000. Let's have a hand for our mothers. I have been praying and asking God, you know, I didn't want Mother's Day to be the same like we do every year and just talk about mothers from the Bible. And even though we can gain a lot from them, I figured, wow, we have some great mothers in our church and we should tap into that resource, amen? And the purpose of having these mothers up here, because they're all different, they're mothers, but they have different families. And I wanted you to know that, hey, people in our church are regular and normal people who have the same issues and things that we all deal with. And being a mother is not an easy job, but it takes a lot of work. And, you know, I just want all you mothers this morning to be encouraged by the testimony of what these mothers have to say. And we're going to start with Christina. And she's been coming to our church ever since softball season last year. And when we was playing softball, she would come out to support us. And I would look at her and, you know, looked like she wanted to play. But she said, you know, I would, but, you know, I'm going to stay and watch my son. Your son is Jace, right? And what? And Tanner. Cole, sorry. Yeah. She has two children. Jace is a special needs child, and it's like, man. And I see her every week. She comes here faithfully, and I think, man, that's not, you know, cannot be too easy to get two children ready, a one-year-old and a special needs, and make it here every week. So I wanted to ask her, you know, I want you to make that choice not to go play softball, to sit with your son and take care of him. And you do such a good job. And I think, like, wow. Because, you know, young mothers, you would think that they would want to go out and have fun and do certain stuff. But I watch and I see how much you love him. And by that, I am encouraged. So I'm going to add, you have been here for almost a year, mother of two children. One of them is a special needs children. And I wanted to ask you, how has God helped you? And how has the church helped you raise your child?
God has helped me raise my child by giving me like the support and patience, which is the key with special needs children. They need more help than the normal kids. And he also gives me the hope that everything will be okay with Jace.
I've got tissues over there, you know. No. That's, I would be crying too. Because I see how much you love me. You know, you get to see them after service. Go and greet them and talk story with them because they're wonderful people. Hey?
And he also blessed me and Jace with great doctors and the support from our family members and friends. And God has blessed him with Make-A-Wish coming up, and the NIH, which is in Maryland, so he can do tests because his disease is so rare. And so we're going to the NIH in August.
Wow. Oh. Okay. So, Christina, as a young parent, how do you include God in your daily routine?
I just include him knowing that he's there for me and there for my family and watching over us and knowing that everything's going to be okay through him.
So if you would have one favorite scripture in the Bible that you would live by or that you would want to encourage others, what would that be?
There's a lot to choose from, but I came across 2 Timothy 4:17, but the Lord stood with me and gave me strength.
Wow. Amen. Well, thank you so much. You know, when you hear these stories, doesn't it like give you encouragement and hope and increase your faith? You know, you can continue to pray for them. I would want all of you to stay up here, but if you need to go down and be with Jace, you have my... Okay, great. Now we have Harley, and we love Harley. And she, I think she couldn't sleep all week because she was nervous. But I actually wanted them to come up here to know that how I feel every week, sweating and cannot sleep. But no, just kidding. But Harley and Jaywin were married last summer. Harley is a wonderful wife and a wonderful mother. I have watched her raise her children. And it cannot be easy. She has a blended family. Some of them, the children are from Jaywin, and some of them are hers and Jaywin. And sometimes I see the struggles, and I wanted her to share, you know, how do you make that blended family work? And don't tell me you watched the movie Blended, okay? Okay.
Through a lot of prayer and self-sacrifice.
Wow, prayer and self-sacrifice. Yeah. Okay. So what would be a scripture that you would use to encourage our mothers?
My husband teaches the Wednesday night service, so we were talking a little bit about, you know, how God has to be first, and whatever we do unto him, not pleasing to men. So I chose Colossians 3:23. It says, and whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men.
Oh, very good. What kind of, I want to ask you one more thing. What kind of issues you have with a blended family? Or you don't
want to... You want the truth? No,
well, we don't want you to lie, but just, you know...
We have a lot of issues. Mostly it's like to do with favoritism.
Uh-huh.
You know, and I think it happens a lot in blended families, being that, you know, the other kids aren't from me. I've had them since they're little, but sometimes I feel like I'm not appreciated, uh-huh, you know, and taken advantage of. So I think that sometimes determines the way I treat them and the way I act, which is wrong, because I'm not supposed to be that way. Mm. You know, we're supposed to love them no matter what, regardless.
Mm-hmm. And I see you do that.
Yeah. It gets frustrating. It does. It gets really frustrating. But we just got to remember that, you know, we've got to put God first, regardless of the way I feel or anything else. Yeah. So.
Amen. You know, she never called me a long time.
That's good.
That's a good thing. But, you know, laugh, because I have a lot of mothers in here call me, and they tell me they squeal on their husbands. But I appreciate what you do with the children, and how I see all of the children here in the church. And I watch Jaylee, the oldest one. She memorizes scripture, and she comes, "Uncle, uncle," and she tells me a scripture, and she tells me the address without looking at the Bible, and it's like, wow, good job. I'm so proud of you.
Thank you.
Give Harley a hand. Okay, we're going to jump over to Julie. Now, Julie is a single mom, and not only a single mom, but she has to deal with her daughter being on the mainland because the daughter just moved recently. And it can't be easy, because I know when my daughter went away for a couple semesters, man, I missed her. And when they would call and they would be sick, you cannot make them a bowl of soup. You cannot go and hold them. It's really difficult. And, you know, I've known Julie for well over 12 years, and I've seen her raise her daughter Jamie as a single parent. And Jamie moved to the mainland. She's planning to get married next year. Raising a child as a single mom must have been challenging. And one thing I want to ask you, as a single parent, what was the most challenging part of parenting, and how did you persevere?
Well, first
of all, somebody turned it off.
First of all,
keep going.
Check one. Oh, yep. There we go. When, you know, I got married, and, you know, you plan a life with a husband and a child, children, whatever. Well, I've been a single mom for 21 years, and the challenge has been financial more than anything. But I've persevered. I put God first in everything. In fact, when my daughter was just maybe 10 months old, I rededicated my life because I knew that I needed Him, because I didn't have a husband. And I needed the Lord to help me get through this. Decision making is another issue. You know, I had to make decisions on my own for her well-being and for school and this and that. And, you know, braces and, you know, everything. And so finances was really tough. But thank God I have a family business. And as far as a father image goes, there were times when my daughter would come home from school, like, probably 6 or 7 years old, kind of crying a little bit, because she'd be, Mom, all my friends have a dad. I want my daddy, you know, and he was in California. And, you know, it was hard for me to explain, you know, why he's not with us. But I encouraged her to give him a call, you know, just to touch base with him. But the one thing she did have was my dad. And you all know my dad.
Mm-hmm.
He was always there for her. Always going kite flying or going to the park or, you know, just being there. I wish I had brought these pictures. I had these great pictures that Jamie did when she was like 4 or 5, and she put clips and bows in my dad's hair. It was just hilarious. And I'm sure that some of you have children that did that to you or your, you know, your parents or grandparents or whatever.
Painted your fingernails.
He was always... Yeah, well, she never did that, though. But he was always so patient with her. So I praise God. You know, He knows. He knew I would be like this. You know, He knew it would be like this. And it's probably, you know, it's not a choice that I wanted, but it's a choice that I'm in. It's the situation I'm in. And, you know, and it's, you know, if I remarry, great. If I don't, I'm okay with that, too. But... All I can say is, now that Jamie's in Arizona, which is a very new place for me and her, and, you know, weather-wise and everything, but she's very happy. She's working. She's in a good place, and I encourage her to do her devotions. I got her that Jesus Calling, which is anybody that wants something new to do their devotions with. It's called Jesus Calling. I can't remember the author. Sharon something or... Anyway, I tell you, every day, even for Jamie, she called me one day and she goes, Mom, you know, I was having a tough day at work, but, you know, I opened up, you know, my little Jesus Calling, and there it was right there, something I needed. And so that made me feel good that, you know, I've tried to raise her to put God first in all things. You know, it's hard. The world is hard. The world is tough, you know, and I was blessed with a good child. She was not a problem, even through high school. You know, she didn't have tantrums. She didn't try to run away from home. You know, so I was really blessed. And so But the most challenging would probably be that, the finances. Mm-hmm. But I've gotten through them by the grace of God, and I'm just looking forward to more, to see what he has in store for me.
All right. So, give us some of the details in how you pray for Jamie. You better take notes.
No. Every morning as I get up, I put on the full armor of God. And I pray that on her behalf also. Because in today's world, there's nowhere you're safe. In the parking lot, at some grocery store, in a public area, in a church, at your home. Because there are, as we get, you know, these are the end times. And as we get closer to our glory, the glorious appearing of Christ, there's more and more and more and more issues. So that's the number one thing I pray for. And then I also pray, of course, for good health.
Mm-hmm.
And wisdom, you know, to give Jamie wisdom in making her choices. She's a young woman now, and she is getting married sometime next year. She hasn't really set a date yet, but you know, that's another thing, probably just that, you know, good health, wisdom, and just complete protection in all that she does and where she goes.
Amen. You heard that, mothers, specifically how you can pray for your children. So what would be one of your favorite scriptures that you live by and that you would use to encourage other people?
Scripture?
Yeah. You have one?
There are so many, but the one that I pray, I'm big on prayer. And so I guess it would be 1 Thessalonians 5, 17 and 18. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks.
Yeah.
For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus.
Wow.
For you. Thank you.
You guys might want to write down that verse.
But that is just big. That's big. Because through Christ, you know, nothing's impossible. So I just continue to pray that and keep that in my heart. That even in the bad times, even when your child is just being a real pain, thank God for that, because through prayer we learn to trust in Him more and more, and we can persevere and handle these situations. So.
Right. I got a chance to email your daughter, and she wrote me back. This is what her daughter wrote about you. Jamie says this, and she's what, 21, 22. She says, She's been my rock through absolutely everything. And I don't know what I would do without her. She provided me with everything I could ever ask for growing up. And even now, she's still giving. I'm 22 years old, and I still call her to ask how to make a doctor's appointment and to ask what in the world is a W-2 form. There are an unlimited amount of questions I'd ask her on a daily basis and try to make this adulting thing make more sense. But at the end of the day, the main reason I call her is for her constant love and support. She never fails to tell me exactly what I need to hear and to give me encouragement and to keep pushing forward. I thank God every day for blessing me with a mother like her. Whew. Wow. You know, when I got this email, like I think on Friday, and I read this and I was crying. I'm like, wow. Whew. And yeah, it's the same effect that have on me. But yeah, you know, speaking from experience, having a child far away, it's very difficult. And you know, all you do is pray and pray, and pretty much that's all you can do. And thank you so much. And then we come to Sue Asano. I have known Sue for many years. Her and her husband Tom been serving at the big church. I've seen your girls Ashley and Lena grow up in the church, and One of the things I'm really excited about is a lot of times when our children reach their college years, they're gone, and you don't see them in church anymore. And, you know, I look at Lena, and I know Ashley still goes to church. Ashley is in Kansas City, and she's still going to church. She's a dentist, and she's doing her training up there, and it's like, wow, and she still goes to church. And I wanted to ask Sue, and even Tom, you know, you did such a good job. I mean, from the outside, it looks so perfect because your children still love God and they still come to church. And how do you keep them with their desire to love God getting through their college years and for life? Because they must have seen something, or you must have told them something, because that just doesn't happen.
First of all, I want to say I just feel really humbled to be with the other moms up here. I have a great husband, and our two girls were bright, always great. But, you know, no matter what, we're all alike, and we have challenges. And in raising them, I remember when I had the first son, Lena, I remember being in the hospital the next day, and I had this anxiety attack, and I thought, what do I do next? They don't teach this in school. Where's the instruction book? And, you know, this was a lot of years ago, and we weren't saved then. Later, when we were saved, there is an instruction book. Yeah, it's God's word. But I had written on my notes, walk the talk. That was key. And last night I asked Tom, so what did we do right? And he said, oh, we have to set the example. So that was one of the things. I think the first work starts with yourself.
Wow.
And the more we kind of know what to do here, but we're always busy, whether it's doing devotion, spending time with God, or coming to church. And a long time ago, it's just a decision. And, you know, sometimes it's not every single week or whatever, or reading or memorizing scripture. But, you know, God will honor every single effort that you can make, because moms are busy, yeah? So that was like working on myself first so that I could be the example. And when things happen, I would hope that the things planned it in would come out when you need it. And God is faithful. That happens too. Right.
So it's more caught than taught.
Yeah. The other thing was words. Words are so important. It can build up or destroy. So what we consciously always tried to do was tell them that God loves you. Or I would tell my grandson, you know, I love you so much, but God loves you even more. Mm-hmm. From very young, wanting to teach them that there's something so much greater than mom and dad who's loving you and making the owie go away. Because for me, I just saw later, the ultimate was one day I won't be here, and I wanted them to be strong, to have somewhere to go to when they needed it.
Very good. And, you know, with life, and sometimes you see your children get disappointed. How do you encourage them through disappointment?
First one is pray.
All right.
You know, from Berna and Christy, I learned that. You know, sometimes things are happening. Look for godly people, godly women that you can rub shoulders with. Or it's okay, just ask, you know, just keep on asking, and God will provide. He will put people in front of you to just share things or encouragement that you needed right at that moment. But prayer was so important. And way back many years ago, I felt so inadequate. I didn't know how to pray. So then they said, just talk to God, just talk to Him. And when discouragement would come, like Ashley especially is so far away, I would be on the phone with her maybe 1 o'clock, or Tom would wake up and I'm on the phone. And I would pray, I would ask her, can I pray over you? And I would pray over her. the other one is with discouragement. I'm like Julie. I pray the full armor of God over the children. Sometimes it's driving to work, and I just...
That's found in Ephesians 6:10, starting at verse 10.
Yeah, so that's been really important. And the last one was, I always felt God entrusted them as a gift into our life.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would pray to ask him that I could steward them well, what I didn't know, that he would give me eyes and ears to hear him and see his signs that, you know, I would know what he wanted me to do, how to guide them or teach them. Because every child is so different.
You
think you have it figured out, and then the next one comes along, and they're very different.
So if you could give our mothers an encouraging word of wisdom, what would that sound like?
Speak life.
Speak life.
See, during times of discouragement or prayer, I just tell them, you know, God made you. He knows every hair on your head. Anything and everything I could think of and all the promises he has, I would just speak that to them and over them in prayer. Actually, dentistry is like 10 years. Lena's in pharmacy. You know, this is a long journey, and there are discouragements. And what's interesting is they're kind of high achievers, but there's still discouragements for them. If they get a certain grade, it's devastating. And so the encouragement is, I would say things like, God did not bring you this far for you to fail. It's going to be okay. You keep going in faith, you know, seek him. And then they'll call back a few days later with miracles.
Yeah, right.
So it's reminding them of who God, that God is there.
What would be a scripture that you would live by and that you would use to encourage other mothers?
The scripture. Mine is Joshua 1:9. Be strong and courageous and do not fear, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go.
Yeah.
I'm kind of quiet and stuff, but when I speak this scripture, I get, you know how moms, you want to protect or the lioness for their children. The